All right, if you will, would you turn with me to our message for today? And that is found in Isaiah chapter 35, and we'll have verses 1 through 11. Again, that is Isaiah chapter 35, and it would be verses 1 through 11. All right, and it reads, "The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It will burst and bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, and the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands and steady the knees that give way. Say to those with a fearful heart, be strong. Do not fear. Your God will come, and he will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, and the thirsty ground bubbling springs. And the haunts of the jackal once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there, and it would be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean will not journey on it, and it will be for those who walk in that way. Wicked fools will not go on it. No lion will be there, and no where to be ferocious beasts get up on it. And they will not be found there. But only the redeemed will walk there, and the ransom of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away." Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you again for your word. And Father, we pray as we come before your word this morning, Father, that you would indeed speak to our hearts. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to our minds as well. And Father, give us your word. And Father, we pray as your servants that you would indeed allow us to be receptive of that word as well. And we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. And we thank you, Lord, for what you have done. And we look forward to that glorious day that you are indeed bringing. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you. Amen. All right, so for some of you all know, we have been each week through the season of Advent, we've been going through the book of Isaiah. And so the first week, there was a message on Isaiah, the second week, and then also this week, we continue to go through the book of Isaiah. And just a little background information on Isaiah. Isaiah is a prophet of God. And if you would recall back in chapter 6, Isaiah sees this this vision, this glorious vision of the Lord in this temple. And in this moment, Isaiah really recognized a couple of things. He recognizes who God is, but then he also recognized not only that, but he also recognizes who he is before God. And in this moment, you know, the Lord is preparing to send someone, and there's kind of this question, who shall I send? Who shall go for us? And Isaiah is there, and the Lord eventually equips Isaiah to become his messenger, become a prophet to not only God's people, but a prophet to the nations as well. And if you know anything about a prophet, you know a prophet of God is a true prophet if everything that prophet says comes to pass. And if you were to just kind of go through Isaiah and just read it, but then you also fast forward to the New Testament, you would really begin to see that Isaiah and all the other prophets were indeed true prophets of God and messengers of God. And so Isaiah is sent to preach and proclaim a couple of things. One thing he's sent to proclaim is this message of judgment. I'm sure you all hear judgment. That's probably not something that we all look forward to. We would look forward to some type of message of hope. We would want some type of message of peace, of joy, or restoration. But Isaiah is actually sent to proclaim this message of judgment on God's people. And one thing to take away from that is that the message of judgment is not just for judgment itself, but it's for the people to actually return and turn back to God. And so God's people have turned away from God, and he's sending Isaiah, like he sends other messengers, to turn the hearts of the people back to the one true God. And not only is this, there's this message of judgment, but that message of judgment is coupled with this message of hope. And this message of hope is really God actually coming to save, God actually coming to deliver and set his people free. And so Isaiah is a prophet. He's a prophet, and he's sent to the nations, and he's also sent to God's people to encourage them, to instill some type of hope that God is actually still a God who remembers and keeps his promises as well. We all there? Awesome. So now we're in chapter 35, and as you kind of read chapter 35, and kind of as I was preparing for today's sermon, really chapter 35 is very poetic, if you will. Just the language that Isaiah is using, he has this grand vision of a new day coming. And if there was kind of a message to, a title to today's message, really I would hope that you would leave knowing that a new day is coming. And Isaiah, you have to remember that he's also proclaiming the message of judgment, but this chapter is a very hopeful message. And so in the midst of darkness, Isaiah is actually bringing a message of hope, a message of light to those in a dark situation. And you can kind of see just even in verses 1-3, it's kind of interesting because he begins to talk about a desert. He says, the desert and the parched land will be glad, and the wilderness will rejoice. And so you kind of begin to see this picture, this image that Isaiah is seeing. And he sees this picture, this image, this vision of a deserted place, a wilderness. And if you all probably have ever seen a desert, you can know that really it's dry. It's nothing glorious about a desert, really. And so Isaiah sees this vision, but he also not only just sees that, but he sees that this desert and wilderness has been transformed into a glorious place where there's actually life coming out of this deserted place. And you can kind of begin to see the word that I really think that fits well with these verses is transformation, restoration. And that the Lord, the God that we serve, is actually about bringing transformation. He's actually about bringing restoration, not just in the life of his creation, but in the life of his people. So even though this is just talking about a wilderness and this is a vision that Isaiah is seeing, but I also see it as something that the Lord is desiring to do in and through his people and the hearts of his people. That there's those moments in our life, I don't know if you've ever been there before, but there's those moments in our life where there's this dryness. It just seems like there's no joy there. There's nothing there. It doesn't seem like there's much life. And it's kind of like in those moments you wonder, how long? You wonder what good is going to come out of this situation. And Isaiah is actually bringing hope to his people and saying, I want you to know that there's a new day that is coming, that the Lord is actually going to bring restoration, and that there's going to be not only this day of sadness, but there's going to be a new day coming that is actually going to be a day of joy, that we're going to actually be able to rejoice in what the Lord is doing. And in the midst of this restoration, I don't know if you noticed, but in the midst of all of that, guess what? Other people are going to be able to see the glory of the Lord and the splendor of our God. And so as the Lord begins to transform, as the Lord begins to renew, restore our lives, other people are going to begin to take notice, and they're going to be able to glorify our God because of the work that he has done. And so you can begin to see Isaiah's vision is actually a message of hope to people who are in a dark and weary situation. And I hope that you notice one thing. The message really is saying this outward transformation is what the Lord desires to do in and through his people. And then through them, other people might see his glory. And again, as we transition, please do not overlook that this work, this transformational work, the Lord really desires to do in and through the life of his people. That through them, other people might be able to praise him. And so through us, as the people of God, other people are going to be able to praise him and give glory to him. And so as we go down, we see that in verse 3, Isaiah not only gives this vision of a wilderness being transformed to glory, but he also gives these images of weakness being turned into strength. In verse 3, it says, "Strengthen the feeble knees and give steady knees to those that give way. Say to those with a fearful heart, be strong. Do not fear. Your God will come with vengeance, with divine retribution, and he will come to save you." And I don't know about you, but when I hear that, that's a very hopeful message. Even though they're in a dark situation, they're in a situation of despair, the Lord is telling Isaiah to go to the people, and he says, I want you to tell them, simple, be encouraged. Seems like a strange message to tell someone who's going through a tough time, to be encouraged. He says, steady the feeble knees. Those who have a fearful heart, he says to them, do not fear. Do not fear. Because he says, your Lord, your God, will deliver you. And so you can just imagine these people who are in captivity or incarcerated and imprisoned, and Isaiah is telling them that a new day is coming. That these chains that you find yourself in, he's saying a new day is coming. That the God that we serve, although it doesn't seem like he's listening, although it doesn't seem like he's watching, trust that he's still the God who can break chains. He's still the God who can set the captives free. And Isaiah is telling them, trust. Trust and know that a new day is coming. And it's hard. And you all know that in those moments of trials and tribulations, it's hard to see a new day coming. It's hard to really begin to see that there's light at the end of the tunnel, especially when you've been in a situation for so long and it's been so dark for so long, you can become hopeless. What's the point of living? All those different messages that we have in those moments of darkness, and Isaiah is telling them, God will come. He will come to save you. And when I really began to think about this message, you know, not only does the Lord desire to do a physical healing in our life, but I also believe he desires to do a spiritual healing as well. And he wants to restore his people back to right relationship with him. And this is Isaiah's goal. This is Isaiah's purpose as he's proclaiming this message, is that salvation and deliverance come from God and God alone. That there is no one else in this world, that is nothing else in our life that can save us, but that deliverance truly, salvation truly comes from God and him alone. Amen? But and this is encouraging. And you all probably know someone who are in a dark situation, and just your presence there, your being there in their life gives them a sense of hope. So and some of us may even be in a dark situation. And if you were in Isaiah's time, and I believe his word still speaks to us, is that there is hope that a new day is coming. And that's a hopeful message. And as he continues, he goes and he begins to tell them, verse 5, he says, then the eyes of the blind will be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. And then the lame will leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. You see this image, this picture, this vision that Isaiah is having? He's saying that everything that seems to be broken, everything that seems to be injured, there's going to be this sense of healing that is going to be taking place. Those who eyes are blind, the blind will receive their sight. The deaf will receive their hearing. The lame will receive their walk, and the mute will receive their speech. And in this moment, Isaiah is pointing to a day when the Messiah and his kingdom comes that there is again going to be this restoration that's taking place, and that as this restoration is coming, healing is also going to be a part of this kingdom that is breaking in, this new day that is breaking in. And I don't know if you really paid attention or heard as Brother Tony was reading this morning, and if we fast forward to John the Baptist, fast forward to Jesus and his earthly ministry, back ahead in Matthew chapter 11, you know, one of the things that you begin to see is you have John the Baptist, who is a relative of cousin of Jesus. And where is John the Baptist in this moment? He's in prison. He's in prison. The one whom prepared the way for Jesus, the one who really began to set forth Jesus' earthly ministry, now finds himself in chains. And like Isaiah, John the Baptist is, again, he's wondering, are you the one to come, or should we expect another? I don't know if you ever asked that question before, but in the moment of, again, this dark situation, John the Baptist is wondering, are you truly the one Messiah? Are you the one whom was sent, or should we be looking for another? And he sent messengers to Jesus to find out this answer. And if you look and you remember what Jesus says, Jesus replied, Matthew 11, verse 4, Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight." He tells them, "The lame walk, and those who have leprosy are cured. The deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." Do you begin to get a sense of Jesus' words and what he's proclaiming? These are the very words that is in Isaiah 35, that the lame will walk, the blind will receive their sight, the deaf will be raised. And John the Baptist, in this moment of hopelessness in prison, he's wondering, wait a minute, if you truly are the Messiah, then why are these things not taking place? And why am I in chains? If you are truly the God who sets captives free, then why do I find myself in the midst of this situation? And Jesus responds to him with what I believe glorious words. And he tells them, the lame will walk. The lame are walking. The blind have received their sights. And he tells them basically what he needs to hear in his moment of distress. I don't know if you ever had, whether it's a friend, family member, someone come into your life, and it's in that moment where you are at your wit's end, and you're really ready to basically just give up. And you receive this fresh word, this fresh reminder, this reminder that, you know what? A new day is coming. And in that moment, you receive just a little bit of hope to actually get you through that day, to get you through that week, to get you through that month. And this is what Isaiah is doing. He's instilling hope in people who are in a dark situation. And I believe that what, you know, like John the Baptist, but like also the people who probably in Isaiah's time, is that those moments can seem like forever. And Jesus says to John, it's fascinating when you really begin to think about Jesus' words. He says, "Blessed is the one who does not stumble according to me." Oftentimes we stumble according to our own transgressions. But he says, "Blessed is the one who does not stumble according to me." We don't often think about being tripped over something that Jesus is doing or something that Jesus has done. But he says, "Blessed is the one who does not stumble, who does not trip according to me." Even when you don't see what the Lord is doing, do you trust that he's at work? John the Baptist hears what Jesus is doing, but he doesn't see it. He hears, but he can't see it. In those moments in your life, what do you do when you can't see God at work? Do you trust that he's still bringing and making things new? Do you trust that even in the midst of your situation, that God is actually going to somehow restore and renew the situation that you find yourself in? Or are you going to give up hope? Or are you going to find a different source? Are you going to look for someone else, something else to somehow bring temporary relief instead of waiting and trusting in God, who is the only source that actually brings true fulfillment, the only source that actually brings true joy? And so I stand before you, and I also receive the same messages that I trust in God that a new day is coming, not just for my own life, but for your life as well. That God is the God who's actually able to bring about newness, not just in the life of those back then, but he's also able to bring restoration and new life in our life today. And not only does he come to heal, but he comes to give us life. He comes to give us life. And that's hope. That hope keeps us going. That hope in the midst of when we don't really want to take another step, that hope gives us the strength to move forward. Because I know that someday a new day is coming. And we have to remember the Lord has the power to turn around and change any situation. Hear that again. The Lord has the power to turn any situation around for his good. If he can turn a desert to a place where there are streams and there's pool and there's this life that is coming, what makes you think that he can't change and turn your situation around? What makes you think that the God who created the heavens and the earth is not able to do the impossible in and through your life? And in those moments when it seems like things are impossible, trust that God can do the possible. He can. And he's able, and he's also willing. But just like those people in Isaiah's day, just like John the Baptist once when he was in prison, he has to trust in God's word. He has to trust that the Lord is making a way and providing a way. And I don't know if you notice, verse 8, it talks about, we have a couple more verses, but verse 8, it talks about, and a highway will be there, and it will be called the highway, the way of holiness. And some people say the king's highway. And then it says the unclean will not journey on it, and it will be for those who walk in the way. Wicked fools will not go on it or be about it. No lion will be there, or nor ferocious beast will go on it. And again, this is very poetic language, and begin to see that this path, this wilderness, is actually, there's going to be a highway in the midst of a desert, in the midst of a wilderness, and that the Lord is going to provide a way for his people. And I don't know if you begin to see, but this way to this presence to God is provided by him. That yet you and I can't earn our way into the presence of God. That God provides that way to him, to himself. And of course, if you fast forward, we know that that way is truly in and through his son, Jesus Christ. If Jesus himself even proclaimed that I am the truth and the life, John 14:6. And he begins to tell us that If you really want to enjoy this presence, this divine presence with the Father that is in and through me. And I was reading on this, and this was very powerful. And it says there are many ways to destruction, but there is only one way to life. It says there's 100 ways to destruction. There's many paths you can begin to take that lead to destruction, but there is only one way that leads to life. And that way is provided by God, and that way is in and through his son, Jesus Christ. And I love that when I begin to think about, as we follow Jesus, he's leading us, he's empowering us, he's bringing us into the life that he so wants us to have. But all these other paths that seems to be the right path leads to destruction. Temporarily, in the moment, it seems like the right path. It seems like the path that we ought to take. But he says, no, There is only one way. There is only one path that leads to the Father. And notice that there will be no lion, no ferocious beast. Again, it's very poetic, but really that way is protected. We have security. We have assurance in knowing that as we entrust ourselves into the Lordship of Jesus Christ, that our status, our relationship in Him is secured because we trust and we believe in Him. And He provides this way to the Father, to the presence of the Almighty God. And again, no other way but through Jesus Christ. And I put a message here, but again, oftentimes there's moments in life where it doesn't seem like there's a way. And I want to remind you that the Lord can provide and make a way even when there seems to be no way. That He can open doors that are shut. That He can make a way in and through our lives, regardless of whoever shuts this door, whoever closed this opportunity, that the Lord can indeed make a way. And you might find yourself in this moment. You might find yourself before a door that seems like it's impossible to be open. But trust and wait in the Lord and know that He can make a way. Final couple verses is, again, it's this message of hope. And I'll read the last closing of it. It says, but only the redeemed will walk there on this glorious highway, and the ransom of the Lord will return. And they will enter Zion with singing, everlasting joy, and while crowns on their heads, and gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. And so not only is Isaiah seeing this grand vision of all these things and this transformation, this restoration and things taking place, but he also sees a day when there would be no more sorrow. Amen. There's going to come this day that there would be no more sorrow. I mean, oftentimes you can hear that and it's kind of, that seems too good to be true. It seems like, how in the world, with everything that's surrounding us, all the violence, all the crime, and everything that we take hold of, all those things will cease and sorrow will be no more. And Isaiah is kind of helping them to see and begin to help them to see that this new day that is breaking in, but also this new day that is coming. And so they begin to anticipate the coming of the Messiah. And we now anticipate the return of the Messiah, when He comes and makes all things new, when there is a new heaven and a new earth, that our situations will be no more. I mean, that's a glorious day. And we have to trust that in the midst of our situations, the Lord can turn sorrow into joy. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. But the sorrow that we're experiencing, it's only temporary. It's temporary. And it's hard to see, but joy is coming. But the joy that is coming is for those who put their trust in Him, those who walk with Him. And the redeemed will indeed enter into this joy. And so as they're coming out of exile, as they're coming out of bondage, as they're coming out of captivity, there's going to be these people who are going to be praising God for what He has done. And so I do pray that even this morning, despite the situation that you probably find yourself in, despite the situation that you know others are in, help them, encourage them, encourage yourself with this word, and allow them to see that a new day is breaking in. A new day is coming. And so I pray that as we come and receive the bread and the cup this morning. Sister Charlene and the band, would you all believe there's joy to the world? And so really, as they come and really just sense that and allow that message to speak over your life, and just know that the joy of the Lord is indeed coming. And my challenge, my prayer for you is to really begin to think this way that is provided. Ask yourself, are you on that way? Are you in the way, or are you on that way? Have you entrusted yourself into the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Have you allowed him to really begin to transform and to make you new? And if not, allow that to become your prayer as you come. Allow that to become the prayer that you say, Lord, I hear your message. I hear this new day is coming. But Lord, I desire, I pray that you would do such a transformation work in my heart, in my life, that I would begin to put my trust and hope in you. So as you come, I pray that would be your hope, your desire, that as we receive the bread and the cup, that the Lord will indeed do a mighty work in your life as well. So I invite you to come.